Goes for about 68 hours, and we get about half a track down because they write all their own material in the studio, and naturally we have to sort of get the backing and get it together, and then sort of throw it around amongst everybody and get ideas happening before we can put it down. And then once that's down, there's the problem of writing the lyrics. Well, it's usually a matter of just sort of putting down a chord progression and writing a song over that.
The history of rock and roll.
Segment featured Otis Redding in a live performance at the Monterey International Pop Festival. The impact of the three-day series of concerts was still being felt months later. Its place in the tradition of rock music was ensured with a song, Monterey, by Eric Burdon and the Animals.
No matter who they are, where they are, what they believe, you can turn people on with music.
soft side to the rock music of 67, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap were part of it, as were the Stone Ponies, whose biggest hit was a song written by Monkey Mike Nesmith, Different Drum.
You and I.
Rock and roll continues through the groups of 67 with Jimi Hendrix, his words, and the experience.
The history of rock and roll.
I know you this evening, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh, yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, and never see you when deliberately you put me in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile. Because all the while I can see you for miles and miles. I can see you for miles and miles. I can see you for miles and 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 miles.
The late Jimi Hendrix began playing in rock bands dominated by other singers. In 1968, the Rockumentary staff asked him why he decided to form his own group in England.
I couldn't do my thing at all, like, you know, what I wanted to do. And plus, we all had to wear uniforms and stuff like that. When I was with Little Richard, you know, he took away all our ruffle shirts one day because, like, he wanted to be more beautiful than anybody else on stage and all this mess. And this seems like that we had to have those certain steps. You know, this is mostly with Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and all those kind of, you know, groups. And we had to know certain steps and all that. I just wasn't doing my own thing, but I had to do it in order to get myself together. You know.
Coming to get you.
used to just write poems when I was going to school and all this, you know. But like playing guitar and all that, I used to listen to B.B. King and say Muddy Waters and so forth, you know, and Elmer James. I used to listen to all these guys. I really dug it, but after a while I got tired of just playing straight like that all the time, so I just started getting my own things together, you know.
Jimi Hendrix got his own thing together and became king of feedback and the world's first psychedelic blues artist. Another group which got its thing together in 1967 was Procol Harum. The high walls of professional jealousy among rock artists crumbled in 1967. Their foundations eroded by the love ethic, which infiltrated rock that year, and by the spirit of the 67 Monterey Pop Festival. It is no longer unusual to hear a dedication such as the following, delivered by Procol Harum at the 1968 Miami Pop Festival.
Thank you. I'd like to play this one as a dedication in a way for a group we much admire. We wish that they could be here today so that we could hear them. I'm sure you do. We'd like to play this one. Those boys from England, the Rolling Stones.
Wasn't the only thing happening in 1968. Sam and Dave maintained the strength of soul music with the aptly titled Soul Man. Established themselves as one of the top American groups in 1967 and 1968. Their sound was and is unorthodox, bearing hardly any relation to the rock mainstreams. This is People Are Strange.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven
strange.
The final half hour of the history of rock and roll begins with the voice of Cream's Eric Clapton. Cream guitarist Eric Clapton.
I think you can get the same kind of buzz, or as many different buzzes, you know, like a happy buzz or a happy, you know, a happy or sad, or like, you know, very deep and joyous and, you know, meditative and whatever, out of any music. And it's good that rock and roll has lived up to that fact, because it wasn't, you know, it never was that way before. There was only classical music. It was the only thing in the Western Hemisphere that you could get really heavy about.
The history of rock and roll.
Records, who worked with a Cream. Though he also produces some artists for the label, he is considered one of the best recording engineers in the business and has maintained that side of his career. The Rockumentary staff asked him what he does as an engineer for such groups as Cream.
If it's a set group, if it's artists that are prepared similar to Cream, Rascals, or groups, self-contained groups of that sort, the best I can do for them is give opinions of what they are doing and try to capture what they are doing most faithfully so that they can be their own critics of whether it's good or bad or what else we can do to help it be better. When we get with single artists that do not have their own accompaniment and their own self-contained groups, then all of a sudden I resort to having to be a writer, arranger, conductor, key picker, and lyricist.
Cream was the pace-setting rock group of 1968 with their new kind of music. Extensive improvisation applied to what was essentially a blues skeleton. Rock music has never respected traditional forms, and it seemed to accelerate through a period of massive experiments in 1968, assimilating and remodeling such diverse elements as classical suites, the Catholic mass, country twanging, and electronic music. Love, a Los Angeles quintet led by Arthur Lee, was part of this pioneering movement. Their fresh sound led to songs such as the cryptically titled Alone Again Or.
Yeah, says it's all right. Forget all the times I've waited patiently for you, and you'll do just what you choose to do, and I will be alone again with you. Thank you.
The Beatles, having lit the fuse which ignited the experimental explosion with their singles and albums from early 1966 on, reacted in March of 1968 with a return to straight hard rock, Lady Madonna. Was moving back to relative simplicity, some of the experimenters continued to dominate the 1968 and 69 record charts. Groups such as the Iron Butterfly. History of rock and roll moves into its conclusion, and the record which the rockumentary staff considers the best result of 15 years worth of music, in a moment. There was a great rash of group breakups in 1969 and 70. Though individual members came back in other groups, the Buffalo Springfield was one of the casualties. Rock and Roll Woman was their 1968 hit.
Georgia knows.
Jazz and rock come together next on the history of rock and roll.
Pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and narrow highway? Would you mind the reflecting sign? Just let it shine within your mind and show you the color. Painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
The combination of jazz and rock was elusive and had been attempted with little success until Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Shortly, it became obvious that Chicago, originally the Chicago Transit Authority, was the best of the groups to take up the Blood, Sweat, and Tears lead. Horn player James Pankow talks about why Chicago was different.
We don't try to sound like a rock and roll band doing rock and roll tunes or anything like this, because rock and roll isn't even rock and roll anymore. Rock and roll is now so diversified that it really can't be classified as rock and roll anymore, I would say. At least the music we're playing, I would say it was simply contemporary music borrowing from all different kinds of forms. Pop, jazz, country, folk, everything you could think of, it kind of borrows from. It's kind of a hybrid brand of music, something that really hasn't existed in the past. We go in the studio and we try to retain a pure sound so we can make the record sound believable and sound like an honest representation of the group as it sounds live on stage. In the same year that jazz rock achieved widespread acceptance and popularity, the bubblegum movement was also enjoying a large audience. Film producer Norman Prescott told the history of rock and roll about the creation of the Archies.
Everything's Archie.
About 3 years ago, we decided to produce a show for Saturday morning television called Archie. And if you've read the Archie comic books at all, there has been a rock and roll group that was composed of all the Archies. Nobody ever heard them because they only appeared in print. But what we decided to do was to form a group. So looking back and seeing who had had experience in this field, we realized that there was a very young and talented record producer in New York who had done pretty much the same kind of thing and successfully with a show called The Monkees. And I said, let's do the Monkees all over again. But this time it'll be a little easier. All we have to do is go for a sound. We don't have to find live bodies. And that was really how the Archies were born. Documentary continues with a group that took a name as long and formal as a law firm. Next.
The history of rock and roll. It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are. You make it hard
tearing yourself away from me. Now you are free. I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever. Yes, and for always.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash hit rock music like a steamroller. The sound was soft, and it suggested the direction for the days to come in 1969. David Crosby from the Byrds, Stephen Stills from the Buffalo Springfield, and Graham Nash from the Hollies were the supergroup the rock world seemed to be looking for. Meanwhile, in the San Francisco Bay Area, Sly and the Family Stone and Santana were emerging as a new chapter in the San Francisco sound. Sly Stone had a hit in 1969 with Everyday People. And one phrase from the song quickly became a credo for Sly's young audience. Different strokes for different folks.
Sometimes I'm right.
There is a blue one who can't accept the green one for living with.
1968, a group from Canada emerged. One of their biggest hits came in 1970, and lead singer Burton Cummings of the Guess Who talks about how the song came about.
We've been in the States like about 6 weeks on the strength of These Eyes and Laughing, right? Touring as a little rock group, going around playing our two ballads. And this was like, you know, right at the beginning, and all of a sudden, we've been struggling, and like all of a sudden, bang, you're here, you're here, you're here. LA, Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh. I was gassed by the whole thing, and I'd forgotten, you know, what home was like. We'd been gone so long. So we came back out of that tour for one night to play Canada in Kingston, Ontario, population of about 12,000. And it felt so good to come home, and I saw a Canadian flag here. It felt really good, you know. So we went on stage. And I was late for the set, and the guy started playing this thing. And I just started singing when I finally got on stage. And it just came out, American Woman.
Group to equal the Beatles' record of 8 million sellers in 1 year.
My first music introduction to the music I dug, let's say, seemed to be coming from a group of artists who probably didn't even know each other.
John Fogerty, leader of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I was, let's say, the center of their attention. In other words, I was in the middle and they were all saying these things. And I put them all together, whereas maybe they never even met each other. Like Carl Perkins, Howlin' Wolf, early Roy Orbison, early Elvis Presley, Muddy Waters, you know, the Chess record thing and the Sun record thing. They all seemed to be from this part of the country, from Louisiana or Memphis, because they said that a lot in their songs.
Oh, Susie Q.
Bye.
From the bayous and riverboats, Creedence went to their own environment for material. Down on the corner. In 1969, the traditionally non-political Motown groups began to take stands on the issues in their music. The Temptations began a new string of hits with a new song, and Ball of Confusion was one of the biggest.
People moving out, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
History of rock and roll listens to Motown's youngest singer. Next.
The history of rock and roll.
Jackson 5 started their career with an amazing burst of energy, and led by 10-year-old Michael Jackson, the group had three number one records in a row. At the other end of the musical spectrum was Jethro Tull, a group from England that typified what the underground had become. Jethro Tull never had a hit single in America, but their concerts were always sold out, and their albums were high on the charts. Leader Ian Anderson talked about Jethro Tull's style.
We've been a lot freer than most groups, I suppose, in the studio, to do what we wanted and to find our own pace and our own direction in the studio, which is probably the reason more than any other why we have no real style or direction as of yet, because we've been free to kind of play around with different sounds and different types of music.
While Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull experimented underground, another Englishman, Joe Cocker, found it easier to move above ground. Cocker traveled and recorded with a group called the Grease Band, and his first hit was Feeling All Right.
Seems I've got to have a chance to see him. Every night I have a spell just to impressing by the way that could have been left here on my own. So it seems I've got to leave before I start to scream. Cause someone left the door and took the key.
You're feeling all right. Oh,
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Oh,
yes,
you're feeling all right. Oh,
I'm not feeling that good myself.
In 1970, Cocker came to the United States to do a tour, but because the Grease Band had broken up, he was in desperate need of a backup band. Cocker's friend Leon Russell quickly gathered an oversized band of 40 musicians, singers, equipment men, and friends, and went out on the road as Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Joe hadn't intended to do the tour. He found out there wasn't any way that he could get out of it, and we had to just kind of put something together real quick.
Leon Russell.
Mad Dogs and Englishmen is roughly five times or six times bigger than the Grease Band. The Mad Dogs band never exactly played in that configuration at all.
The Mad Dogs, the Englishman, and Joe Cocker.
In a moment, the history of rock and roll moves into its final 2 hours with Hair, Woodstock, the Beatles' breakup, Elvis' comeback, and the promise of rock singer-songwriter.